It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Dude, freaking wow.
Hello, and yes, once again, we fooled you. It is not Film Sociology. Once again, for the third week in a row, it's Film Yap Radio. Well, I guess this week it's Haunted Film Yap Pendant Critic Radio.
I like that. Copyrighted.
Nice ring to it.
And that's because, of course, I have sitting alongside me the young lady who got by Lil Jimmy. That's Gina Wagner.
What?
Hey, everybody. I got my Lil Jimmy.
And the man of the hour, Too Sweet to Be Sour. And those are my new school and old school pro wrestling references. It's Richard Probst.
Sounds like something Ric Flair would say.
Superstar Billy Graham, actually. Wow.
For those of you who don't know, Joe Shearer is wearing a Ric Flair wig right now. Because it's radio.
That's right. That's right. Because that's how I roll. All right. Well, we have a lot going on this week, right?
We do.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It might be a knockdown drag out today. For our first film, if we want to jump right on into it.
Let's do it.
This is the one of the big summer blockbusters, and I don't know that I expected to be on this side of the aisle on this, but today it's Transformers Dark of the Moon. And, of course, it stars Shia LaBeouf, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, John Turturro, Francis McDormand.
Richard, didn't you call him Shia LaBeouf last year?
I probably did. I screw up his name every time I say it.
So you thought he was more of a girl than a shy person?
Well, let's be honest, the performance proves it.
There was certainly enough screaming. Who else is in this? Josh Duhamel, Mr. Fergie, right? Tyrese Gibson, and Optimus Prime. We're going to listen to some audio of this, right, Kobe?
Yep.
All right.
Our entire space race of the 1960s was in response to an event.
If you breathe a word of what you've seen here, we'll do time for treason.
Everything humans know of our planet, we were told, had been shared. You lied to us. You've made a grave mistake.
Took over the planet.
You'll be fine. I promise you.
It's over. I'm sorry, but it's over.
Faith in us, but never in yourselves. From here, the fight will be your own.
Run!
Sounds like a lot of rock music and crashes.
That's very accurate.
Yeah.
There's plenty of both of those. And let me preface this by saying I would probably say safely that I have the most invested in this movie of any of the three of us. I've been a fan of the Transformers since I was about 6 years old. That was one of my shows at the time. And, wow. And since that time, since I was 6 years old, I've been waiting to see a big screen, complete and utter throwdown between Optimus Prime and Megatron. And I still didn't get it.
You got it. It was a good couple minutes.
It
was a good couple seconds.
One minute.
And and we gotta be careful because I don't want to give anything away. There's a bit of a twist in the middle of this movie, which I was fine with. let me say, by the way, the side of the aisle I'm on is this movie is terrible. You guys don't necessarily agree. I was very, very angry walking out of the theater. Like I said, I was such a fan. I felt like a lot of the first of all, Michael Bay does not treat any of the Transformers like actual characters. He treats them like two pieces of metal to bang together.
That's what they are.
Well, that's what they are because that's what he's made them. Now in the second film, Optimus Prime was at least a character. And when he, you know, he had the big battle with, you know, he took him on and he took on the Decepticons, got killed, came back, you know, beat some more Decepticons down. He was cool. He was John Wayne. He was the robotic John Wayne. And this one, he was.
So really he had no personality.
Oh,
that's true. But he was a bad dude. He was a bad dude. That's what I'm. And this one, it was all very, it was very self-conscious, you know, and he was only there to spout out a couple lines. And then there's a big giant battle at the end that happens to involve a lot of faceless robots, some of which we've seen in previous movies, some of which we haven't. And then we got a finale that left me very, very disappointed. I felt like certain characters that I really like, Transformers specifically, died, basically went down like punks. They went down the wrong way. They deserved a moment at least, and they didn't get it. They got punked, and I didn't like that. Shia spends half of the movie screaming, and he spends the other half of the movie running around and doing the stuff he did basically in the other two movies.
So really, he took over the Megan Fox part.
No, actually.
I was going to bring that up. Megan Fox was fired.
She was fired, allegedly, for calling Michael Bay Hitler.
Oh.
Although, I mean,
it's not a good way to get along with your director.
No, it's not alleged that she said that. She was actually quoted as saying that, but it's alleged that's the reason she was fired, according to.
That was unfair. She was trying to say Himmler.
She just got confused.
She just got overdramatic.
She's easily confused. Poor girl. Didn't deserve it.
It's clear that the part was written for her. Only a few minor changes were made for this new girl.
They just got to change the name, pretty much.
And the hair color.
And they have to say a line about, oh, that other chick that, you know, went through two robot holocaust, you know, end of the world with me. She dumped me.
So. I love it. Other parents pointed out, like, you got a second beautiful girl? How did you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, I went along with the whole, okay, Shia has Megan Fox because they found the Transformers together. That was a special experience for them. That's what their relationship is built on. You can't tell me that a second totally hot girl with money likes him just for him. I don't know. I'm not buying it.
You think Shia LaBeouf has no redeeming qualities?
Not his character, no. I'm sorry. I saw, like, he's just kind of a nerd. He got a little bit of college in, and he is jobless in this film.
And the one thing he did
whiny
do,
about it.
Yeah, and the one thing he did do, she didn't really buy into initially. So, yeah.
Okay, now a fellow coworker here is also a big Transformers fan, and he saw it, I think, Thursday morning went out and saw it. Said it was better than the second. Is it better than the second?
It is better than the second, yes. But, I mean, which hurts less, shoving a screwdriver under your fingernail or banging your thumb with a hammer?
Okay.
Screwdriver.
Now that Joe has really expressed his fanboy broken heart, I think we need
Why
to establish some
Why are you insulting
fanboys? Things.
Okay.
It wasn't an insult. It was just a statement of
fact. If you take a step back from all the emotional angst you're feeling about the Transformers themselves, you got to look at what Michael Bay was trying to do. He was trying to make a movie with big Transformers fighting each other with a hot chick thrown in there. And destroy the city of Chicago effectively. Mm-hmm. In all of those things, he succeeded.
Sure.
So, in my opinion, this movie was a success in that regard because he took out all of the ridiculous subplots that he had in the first two movies that were just, there was just too many human characters, too much of a human element. I still think the humans could be scaled back even more in favor of the Transformers. Because I really don't care that Shia's unemployed, because you can't just have a military job handed to you because you like to babysit the Autobots.
But this is the thing. To me, it felt like there was more human interaction in this one than in the second or the first one. Just because the first one was mostly Shia. It was mostly Sam Witwicky and Megan Fox's character, Michaela, I think is what her name was. The second one was definitely more Transformer action. But this one, it was like the first half was all him, like you said, looking for a job. He's whining about it. There's Malkovich, and he's running around doing stuff. Ken Jeong is in the bathroom with Shia.
Dr. Ken's being weird for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, which was really a downer. I was like, take him out of this movie.
You were cheering when he was taken out of the movie?
But and then we have Turturro coming back. Frances McDormand comes in and becomes the governmental head of whatever she was. Was she the Secretary of Defense?
She was there to be the man.
Yeah, and she was fine for what she was you know, for what she did. She was okay. Malkovich, I don't know. He
did what Malkovich does.
He acted crazy.
He came in and acted eccentric.
I mean, he does that.
Yeah. I
liked his framed pictures in his office. Those were a nice touch.
Well, see, to me, it felt more human because he made the Transformers have more personality. Mm-hmm. For me, I mean, he made them look a little bit differently. This was the first Transformers film where I could actually tell them apart and could honestly identify with their characters, which I loved, and it helped me enjoy the movie a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's fair enough, even though you guys are wrong.
Well, I'm sorry. I really like the new Decepticon characters.
I don't think the box office is on my side of this. My actual opinion was Michael Bay was actually trying to make a G.I. Joe movie. If you look at the military is actually the real good guy of the big 1 hour finale, which I have to say is a wonderful piece of cinema. The last 45 minutes to an hour of the movie is full on destruction. It doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. You can tell who's who. I just didn't like who he had plugged in for kind of the final battles. People who, you know, you had humans killing the Transformers, which I don't like at all. Certainly not the big ones, which one single human takes down one of the big Decepticons in the movie. And that really kind of put me off, because to me, Transformers have to be, they're indestructible. If the humans take one down, it's a big deal. But and they should probably only take down
the humans.
Level. Well, they're the military, and Michael Bay loves them, so they have all these gadgets, and they were in this building that fell over, and it was so awesome, but it wasn't.
I love seeing that building fall over. I didn't even mind that they didn't even try to accomplish the goal they were trying to do by going into the building.
Yeah, you know, that was a cool piece of cinema. Like I said, they just didn't. To me, there needed to be a 5-minute fight between the two of them, only the two of them, and not this third party that is.
And so you're trashing the film because you didn't get your 5-minute fight.
Yes.
That's just low, Joe.
And I'm sorry, Michael Bay. I blame you. This is 25 years plus of waiting for this, and this is what I got. And not just because of that one. There are all corresponding Transformers going down the ranks of both sides that should have matched up and fought, and they didn't.
But on the positive side, you could see what they were doing when they were fighting better than ever before.
And we should say the 3D is it's okay. It's not distractingly bad. I wouldn't say it's awesome. It's not Avatar to me, which Avatar is still the best use of 3D that I have seen.
Which is depressing, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, we got to give credit where credit's due. It's not distractingly bad, but it did make this is the reason that our action has slowed down is because I read somewhere just before I saw the movie that the human eye needs 3 seconds to process a 3D image or something. I don't know, maybe that's crap, but that's what I heard. I'm going to go with that. So Michael Bay had to slow down his confusing robot-on-robot action scenes.
Well, I appreciate it, even if it was forced.
Yep, and that's okay. I can give him credit for that. But for nothing else. That's it.
So all right, so Joe, I'm gonna play this response for you because this is what I'm getting from you.
That's unfortunate.
There's no excuse for that.
But this might.
was that me?
We got that one, right?
Yeah, that's
we got that as well.
That's you.
Wow.
There's no excuse for that.
Thank you very much. All right, let's we're gonna tone it down a little bit now. The counter program.
We're not.
Oh yeah, we're gonna tone it. We're gonna bring the mood down. This is
I'm way up here.
Do we have
all
the Otis Redding then? Okay.
Yeah. Cue the Otis Redding, Kobe. We have a slightly more adult film, Larry Crown. It's directed by Tom Hanks, starring Tom Hanks, co-written by Tom Hanks.
You put it that way.
Julie Roberts is in there. A couple other people. George Takei is in there.
Yes.
Before we get into that, let's listen.
What'd they say?
You have to listen twice.
Larry Crown to the Common Break area? It's Employee of the Month Day. How many will this be?
I'm not saying.
9.
Larry Crown, on deck!
Crown, with Thumb go parting of the ways.
This sounds like you're firing me. They said it's because I didn't go to college.
Get you some knowledge and you'll be fireproof.
You're never too old to learn.
Can you get this hunk of junk working?
How fast does it go? Larry, it's got power.
Didn't see you in the scooter pit last term. You're an ex-cop.
Why would you think that?
Tucking in a polo shirt makes you look like one.
This is it. Excuse me. The state requires a minimum of 10 students, so this class is canceled. Thanks.
Does this be Sue 17?
Each of you will tell us how to do something you already know how to do.
How to prepare French toast.
Next.
I gotta take this.
Brain freeze. I wonder if I make any difference to anyone sitting in my classroom. Look up at your audience. Find 3 different focal points. Start on one side, looking into the eyes of whoever's there. Hello. You are way cooler than you appear.
I can't really afford all these new threads.
It is gratis. Take off your pants. My boyfriend's here. Put your pants back on.
Look who's waiting for a bus. Do you need a ride?
Fine, but I will not wear that bucket on my head.
In the Navy, I went around the world 5 times, but I would never be able to communicate it to you unless I had taken a class like this.
You work here.
It's my secret identity.
Spectacular. You like to kiss me?
You are so cute, I can see you.
All right, in a nutshell, Tom Hanks gets fired from his job at, U-Mart. It's not Kmart, it's not Walmart, it's not Target.
Don't get him in trouble here.
It's U-Mart. He gets fired ostensibly because he doesn't have a college education. Let's just skip past that. And basically, he goes back to school. It
takes a lot of training to be a Walmart greeter, U-Mart greeter.
Yes, U-Mart. U-Mart. Yeah, they wear red,
either one.
Blue. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, the point is, he goes back to school, he loses his job, he goes back to school, he meets a teacher, played by Julia Roberts, who is not too excited about being a teacher these days. She has a husband who looks at women in bikinis on the internet, and she calls that porn. Anyway.
Well, what do you expect them to actually show on the screen?
It is a PG-13 movie. Yeah. They could have at least like obscured it. But anyway, we'll get to that.
Let your imagination wander on what he was looking at.
Yeah, we'll.
I'm more bothered by the fact that he called Julia Roberts a washboard. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that was the. We got to really push that this guy's a jerk, so we have to throw that in. Right. Yeah. And, of course,
give me a washboard, please.
The very next scene, she proves that to not be the case.
Exactly.
So, so anyway, like that. Anyway, Tom Hanks also joins a scooter gang.
That's cool.
Yeah. It actually is kind of fun. This movie is much better than we're putting off, I think, at this point.
But Joe, isn't it cool to be on a scooter?
It was actually.
I think scooter sales are going to skyrocket because of this movie.
As long as the movie doesn't bomb, I think you're right.
I think so.
See, especially among middle-aged men.
Well, he kept talking about how fuel efficient they were.
Yep. Yeah, he watched them as he's pumping gas into his monstrous excursion, he sees someone, you know, zip in and spend $2-3 on a full tank of gas. And he's like, wait a minute.
Why does mine cost 70?
So anyway, the movie overall, lighthearted, fun, airy, breezy kind of thing. Good chemistry between Julia Roberts and Tom mm-hmm. Hanks. We should note Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who is the young lady who plays Talia, who gets Tom Hanks involved in the scooter gang. She's the free-spirited young woman who, of course, Julia Roberts thinks Tom Hanks is hitting on her, right? It's not really the case. She's more of a... She's just a straight friend, really, which is kind of neat.
She's with Wilmer Valderrama.
Yes, Wilmer Valderrama. What was he on That 70s Show, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. And he is the tough of the gang.
That's
and
sad.
And he's funny in this. I mean, yeah. His facial expressions were great.
He doesn't do much, but what he does is very funny. This is a good kind of lighthearted date movie. Mm-hmm. I think older people especially will enjoy it. I enjoyed it. It wasn't a perfect film, as I think you're about to mention.
Oh, Gina. No, it's pleasant. You can watch it with your mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do there... I have to?
It's optional. The company is optional.
There are perhaps a few inconsistencies, as I said. These are just, to me, all things that are factually iffy, maybe. Chris pointed out that Tom Hanks' character was in the Navy for 20 years and would then have some sort of pension that he should be able to lean back on. They never mentioned that in this film. They put it off as a piece of paper.
Yeah, wasn't it like a $300,000 house and he was working at U-Mart?
He had a very expensive house. He had bought out his ex-wife's half of the house, basically, so he was buried in debt. But they never mentioned it as what he said. But, you know, there's a few things like that, a few iffy things. George Takei is great in this movie. Best evil laugh of the decade.
I think George Takei is the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By far. Yeah. Yes.
Really?
He has a presence.
See, I got tired of the laugh a little
no,
bit.
No. I kept waiting for him to come back.
Really?
Yes.
I thought they overdid his.
No, you can never overdo George Takei.
They had a bit where he, as the economics professor, Larry Crown, of course, Tom Hanks, is texting Talia in class, and he repeatedly gets caught and has his cell phone confiscated. There's one scene in particular where you just hear him talking, and then the camera kind of cuts to Hanks texting, and you just see a hand poke in off screen. And it's a very good laugh. It's like we said, very cute movie. It's worth seeing, especially for the
older. It's not a great story, but if you like Tom Hanks and if you like Julia Roberts, you're going to like the film.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that Tom Hanks also directs the film, and he co-wrote the film with Nia Vardalos.
Yeah, Nia Vardalos.
Who did My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, which is strangely random to me that she wasn't in the movie, but she co-wrote it.
She did the voice. She did one of the voices in the film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
She was in...
She did the talking squirrel, right?
No, she did the GPS. She did the GPS voice.
Oh, okay. No, there is no talking squirrel in this movie.
There is no talking squirrel. There's a dancing squirrel.
What movie were you watching?
I liked it.
But yeah, it was good. It's worth seeing. It's being savaged by the critics for some strange reason. I don't really get it.
I don't.
But you know,
we're used to greatness from Tom Hanks that you know this kind of laid back, easygoing romantic film seems a little weird. And
Overall, I thought it was good. I don't think it was great, but I think it was a solid good.
It's worth seeing. Good counter programming to the explosion fest that Michael Bay dropped on us. So.
But they wasted Taraji P. Henson, by the way.
They did.
That did bother me.
Yeah.
And there wasn't enough Pam Grier.
Yes.
Agreed.
What?
Yeah. Agreed. Yes.
Yeah, Pam Grier.
She's in this movie, and she is a sounding board for Julia Roberts to say lines to.
Yeah, it was nice to see her, but yeah, we should have seen a lot more of her. And there's also a nice kind of subplot that they could have expanded a bit more with his classmates in this speech class. There was one, the one guy, which is named Steve DiBiase, right?
Yeah.
not the Million Dollar Man Ted, if we're making our wrestling references.
But I did giggle every time they said his name, because they said his full name a lot.
And he was very funny. And it's one of those movies where there's a lot of things that we would have loved to have seen more of. What we got was still pretty good. Like you said, not great, very good. What do we got for soundbite?
Now that was a good movie.
All right. I think we almost ready to take a break.
We can take a break. You can talk about
movies.
Okay.
Well, before I take a break, I did promise someone that I was going to do something real quick. Our next door neighbor is actually watching my two boys right now. So I want to say hi to Haven and then, of course, to Riley and Mason. So let's go to break on that.
Okay. Hang on a second. You can't
Come on. Well, she's our next door neighbor, and she does lots. Okay. She does lots of things for us. She plays with the kids all the time, and she's really fun.
That was less story than Transformers.
You don't want to talk about Buck and Page One.
Well, we can. Yeah, I guess. Do you want to talk about Buck and Page?
I can talk about Buck. I can't say much about Page One.
Do you want us to talk while you break?
Okay, I will take a break. I have not seen Buck.
You know what, Joe?
One.
I'll catch your mic off
here.
All
right,
you haven't seen Buck?
Joe's out.
No, I didn't see either of these movies, but you can talk to me about them.
I could talk to you about them. I don't know much about Page One.
If you
one.
Want, you can talk, and I will respond to what I think about your talking.
You can't.
Because I enjoy judging
you. You can't do
you.
That on public radio.
Why?
That's FM radio, and that's not allowed here. So, okay. Buck was directed by first-time director Cindy Meehl. It is a documentary opening this weekend at Keystone Arts Cinema here in Indy, and won the Audience Award for Documentary at Sundance this year. It is a really, really well-done, beautifully made film. You can tell that Meehl has a background as an interior designer because it looks like the film was designed. It's the story of Buck Brannaman, who is known to most people as the Horse Whisperer. And the film... What, Gina? I feel sarcasm coming from you already.
No. You go ahead.
Robert Redford. Well, and he's one of the producers on the film.
There
so,
you go.
You know, it's a really neat story, and it's probably things that a lot of people don't realize. You know, sure, they know that he's great with horses. He has this, what many would consider to be an unnatural gift. But this film also really goes into his abusive childhood and how much violence he experienced. And how incredible it is that he turned that around to become someone who is known for being so gentle with animals. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an incredibly moving film. It moves very quickly. It's about an 80-minute film. If you like nature, if you love horses, if you love animals, if you love stories of overcoming, I think this is a documentary that people will really resonate with. And it has an Old West feel because he really kind of feels like a cowboy. He's even kind of got that cowboy voice. Mm-hmm. He's front and center in the film, and I highly recommend it.
Are there any talking squirrels?
There are no talking squirrels, and the horses do not talk either.
I can't that's watch a movie if it doesn't have a talking squirrel or a giant robot.
But seriously, that sounds like a movie I would like.
You would like
sarcastic.
It.
Absolutely.
I like
absolutely.
Animals.
And there are no babies in it, so Gina would like it.
All the better. We wouldn't get through this radio show without you bringing up babies.
There has to be one baby reference.
Every time we're together, Richard. God.
What did we think of Buck?
Buck? I'm getting...
Yes!
Yeah, that sounds about right. The other movie coming out this week, as we said, Page One, Inside the New York Times. I'm guessing this is a documentary also.
Yeah.
Either that or a very boring narrative.
Yeah. Let's look at newspapers for an hour and a half.
I want to read the obituaries now.
I believe Austin Luger is reviewing it on our site, so you can go to the Film App to see that. I haven't seen it. None of us have seen it here.
Nope.
I don't know if they screened it for us.
Again, let's stress, if you want us to review your film, you have to let us see it.
Yeah, we would love to.
Yeah, and I want to see stuff too.
Yeah.
I think I got sent something that was going to be a link where I could watch it online, and I wasn't available at that time.
Boo.
Well,
so I screwed
messed
that
us all up Gina.
Wow, I feel inadequate now. Okay.
All right, so now I think we're ready to take a break.
Break time. You're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI HD2 Indianapolis.
Wow.
We're back. Nice. I missed you.
Yeah. I had a sandwich and I'm all ready to go. Break's done.
I watched another movie.
Yeah. It was a short. Do we not get to open the video store? Or are we open?
Oh, crap. Hang on.
We're all messing up today.
Kobe,
that's
all
right. Nobody's listening
that's
anyway.
Okay.
And that's my movie reference right there. Major
Two
League.
People said online they were going to listen tonight. I saw that.
I had a couple, too.
All right, here we go. Hey, I'm going to open the video store. Everybody pay attention to this.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Dude, why don't you open the video store, Kobe?
Season of the Video Week. Store is open.
I've been waiting outside for 10 minutes, and I have to go to the bathroom. So let's open the video store.
Do you have Ma and Pa cattle?
All right, so our first movie. We have lots this week.
I'm not even going
to
respond
to
that.
We've, lots of movies this week, and we've seen some of them. I actually, just before I showed up here, was trying to watch Sucker Punch. I got about halfway through it. This is a Zack Snyder director.
It doesn't get any better.
It doesn't get any better. I think I saw the best parts.
You did.
Yeah.
So
actually,
you
the closing
seen
credits.
The whole thing?
No, I was interrupted by various life things, and I had to.
Oh, okay. I thought you were rewatching it. I didn't know that.
No,
was your
first time. I missed
life
the first
things.
Time. Yes. Oh. I had to do stuff, and, you know. I got a life. I'm sorry. I'll finish it tonight. Probably not. But anyway, this is Zack Snyder directed.
I'd
this.
Rather do self mutilation. Yeah. Thank you.
Wow, Richard. Wow.
All right. It's Chris Lloyd, my colleague at the Film Yup, called this a steampunk fantasia something or other.
What?
I don't even know what that means. But it's basically a very stylish. It uses Zack Snyder's prodigious style of visual thingies to make a movie about a girl.
Emphasis on thingies.
Yes, lots of thingies in this movie. A girl who kills people and does stuff. She's in a mental hospital, but then she's...
Yeah, five girls in a fantasy action world coming up with a plan to escape a mental institution, and there are almost levels of a dream world going on here. Yeah. Almost. Yeah. Not
almost.
Quite.
What she said. Let's listen, and you can decide for yourself.
Oh, you want to listen to that?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
Let's do it.
It's that.
You are safe. It's all safe. What you're imagining right now, that place can be as real as any pain. Don't be afraid. You have all the weapons you need. Your fight for survival starts right now. I'm gonna escape from here. There's armed guards everywhere. If Blue finds out, we're dead. We're already dead.
This is your journey. If you succeed, it will set you free.
Looking forward to this movie, like one of the most look forward to movies for me this year, because it looked like a ridiculous action movie. Mm-hmm. And it didn't quite get there for me. I mean, it had ridiculous action, but I just don't feel like the story was very well laid out. And It was
typically the case, isn't it, with ridiculous action?
Yeah, but it was just a little confusing, and there was just something missing, something big missing throughout. But I really liked the soundtrack. That ended up being what I liked the most about it. Mm-hmm.
There was a neat little piece in the center there where the girls are fighting these... They're like Nazi zombie thingies.
Oh yes, the Nazi zombies.
Yeah, they were very cool, and it was a fun little sequence.
Yes, of course.
But then it ended.
You must be referring to the Nazi zombies.
And everyone knows those are the best kind of zombies.
If you're going to have a zombie,
they might as well be Nazis. Yeah.
Should have had Megan Fox in it.
Wow.
Okay. I can't even answer that. Among the cast, we should mention Emily Browning, who. I recognize, I think, was she in...
She does some of the vocals in the songs. She sings at least three of the songs.
Okay, I think, was she in Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events, the Jim Carrey movie a few years back?
No idea.
She was one of the younger, one of the Baudelaire
children.
I think
she was, come to think of it.
Yeah. Scott Glenn is in it. Carla Gugino is in it. Lots of other people.
Abby Cornish.
Yeah, yep. People I vaguely recognize.
Abby Cornish, Vanessa Hudgens, Jamie Tuning, and Jenna Malone.
I love her.
Oh, okay. I didn't even see
She's wasted anymore. Here, but okay. I love her.
So anyway, not I guess we'll all agree, not the greatest of movies. Maybe you want to watch it if you're interested in it. Don't.
It's a rental.
Yeah.
Not a buy.
Okay.
But Maximum Movie Mode is really great.
Oh, excellent.
Really enjoyed that.
Zack Snyder does have a lot. He does do a lot with that kind of stuff, with the Blu-ray.
I'm addicted to Maximum Movie Mode. That's I wish awesome. Every movie had it.
Mm-hmm. Well, not every
movie. Not every
well,
movie.
No, not every movie, because it's not worth my time. But...
But is this one worth their time?
Well, yeah, it improved my experience of watching Sucker Punch a second time. It improved my experience of watching Clash of the Titans, which I didn't think was possible. So, Maximum Movie Mode for the win.
All right. Okay. Here's...
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
All right, next, we're going to talk about these people who want to capitalize on the Twilight saga. They made their own knockoff thing, I think, maybe.
With Vanessa Hudgens again.
Wow, she's in all these.
Beastly?
Yeah, this is called Beastly. It's, I don't know, what is it
Which
about?
Which is one of the most appropriate names of the year.
Yeah.
It's like a Beauty and the Beast movie.
Yeah, it's
With
it's,
an Olsen
it's
in
weird.
It.
Yeah, I saw that in the trailer. I was like, what?
Yeah. Now, yeah, if the guy's a jerk and gets a spell put on him and something.
Oh,
yeah. Ugly.
Alex Pettyfer.
Yep.
Yeah. He was also the what was that one called? Number four. I am number four.
Oh yeah.
Not to be confused with I am number 5, 6, or 7.
Mm-hmm. Or the number 23. Yeah. Or 7.
But wow. Amongst us, I think Richard was the only one that saw it.
That's I'm sad. No. I'm tired of movies where pretty people try to. Display some kind of sympathy for those who necessarily aren't so pretty. Mm-hmm. The other thing that bothers me here is there's a Heartland connection with this film because Daniel Barnes directed it.
Okay.
He did Phoebe in Wonderland, which played at Heartland a couple of years back.
Yeah.
So I know he can direct, and he just doesn't do much here. Mm-hmm. Of course, Vanessa Hudgens, let's see, two bad movies, 1 week. Mm-hmm. You could really...
I'm guessing they hired him because he... isn't the big blockbuster person that can throw his own weight around, and so they can dictate certain
And he's
things
becoming less of one now,
yeah.
So it's a little sad. But, it had some interesting – I didn't have any problem with the whole Beauty and the Beast angle coming to, a contemporary setting. And Vanessa Hudgens, there's a little bit of potential there. You know, she doesn't have a tremendous range, but,
Is it better when she's singing and dancing?
And in high school, and with Zach, and
so.
But can her career go from there?
I think so. I think so. I even thought in Sucker Punch. I mean, there was something there. She hasn't quite found her place yet. And Sucker Punch isn't it. But
she did look better with like a big hatchet in her hand.
I think every woman does.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I want to know. If this is a remake of Beauty and the Beast, who played the teapot? Because they're not taking Angela Lansbury's place. I'm just telling
you. Wow. See, now you've left me silent. Paybacks?
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right. Well, what do we think about this?
We thought, I'm going to play Chris Lloyd's thing here.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
All right.
Yep.
All right, so Chris did make an appearance. Next, we're gonna Nick Cage things up a little bit.
That's something you can do?
Oh, yeah. Well, only Nick Cage can truly do it.
He's the only one that can walk on both sides.
I think the IRS can do it.
Yes.
Okay.
And he will start in him and his somewhat frosted tips starting season of The Witch.
Frosted what?
Well, tips.
Okay.
As in his hair. Come on. His funky hairdo number 19,426.
With Ron Perlman, Hellboy.
Yes, Hellboy was in this too. It's some sort of medieval kind of thing about a witch and two guys who are going.
Oh, we're getting too old for this business war.
Yeah, well, people, except for this witch demon thing.
We gotta do one last job.
Yeah, so let's listen, I guess, briefly.
Oh, you want to listen to that? I'm just gonna play. You know what? Let's just do that. We're gonna skip that. Hang on.
No! 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 No!
Kobe, you're getting so good at this.
All right, let's move on.
That's me.
But what else is coming out this week? Another movie we all have not seen but really want to is Barney's Version, starring Paul Giamatti, Dustin Hoffman, Minnie Driver, and others that I couldn't think of off the top of my head.
Giamatti got a Golden Globe nomination for this.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he win?
I believe he did.
I believe. I think he won.
Yeah. Yes, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, yeah. A movie about Paul Giamatti marrying lots of women. He marries a woman, but
another lucky duck.
Meets his true love at the wedding, and that's not his wife, unfortunately for him.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, like we said, Dustin Hoffman's in it. Paul Giamatti's a very good actor. I actually have this at home. I wanted to start watching it one night, but I was exhausted and didn't get to. I will be watching it this weekend, and maybe I'll chime in next time we're on. Probably not, because we have to move on.
we can listen to this one.
All right, let's listen to it.
All right, let's listen to it.
What have you been doing with yourself?
I'm getting married.
To who?
To me. Prince Charming Bomb here knocked me out by way of a magical 30 seconds of friction.
Mazel tov.
Salute.
Chicken is great.
It's fish.
Sorry.
Is your dad really a cop? Is he?
Sam, your wedding present. I don't know what to say. For the first time in my life, I am truly, seriously, irretrievably in love.
So am I, Barney. So am I. Don't be ridiculous. We just met. At your wedding.
I don't care if it happened on my wedding night. At a funeral? On my deathbed?
You're married to a woman who is loaded. Has a beautiful rack. Many successful marriages have been built on far less.
Ah, Barney!
You planned this all along, didn't you? You need to get laid.
Classy, Panofsky. I'm divorced.
Is the ink even dry yet?
Let me check.
After all you've done to pursue me, how can I trust you?
I would do anything for you, Mary.
Don't answer anything. Life's real. It's made up of little things. Minutes, hours, naps, errands, routine. And it has to be enough.
You did good, boy chick.
No, I think a little time apart would be good for both of us.
My mother and I are gonna work through this.
You're trying to fix it. You can't fix this like you do everything else.
Have I ever given up when it comes to you?
Never.
So what makes you think I'm gonna stop now?
All right, again, a movie we haven't seen.
The nice movie none of us saw and can't really talk about.
Because we were looking for Razzie winners, actually.
Yeah, shame on us for not seeing this. but we will. We will rectify that very soon. So what else is coming out? I do know The Warrior's Way, another movie none of us have seen.
Sitting on my table right now.
Yep, likewise.
Ready to go. Has Jeffrey Rush in it.
Yeah, and Kate Bosworth.
Biting. Yep.
Cowboys and Ninjas, I think.
Samurais, maybe?
Are they samurai?
They look like samurais to me from the cover.
I don't know.
I haven't read the back of it yet. That's unfortunate.
It came and went, and it was supposedly very not good.
Jeffrey Rush made a bad movie?
Oh, we don't know yet.
Okay.
Jeffrey Rush
we
got
can't speak that. We have to watch it first.
There is speculation that Jeffrey Rush
don't
did
that rumor.
Don't tell anyone.
Gina, I understand a couple more things came out.
Also out this week from the History Channel, Underwater Universe Season 1. Uh-huh. Basically, they took a documentary called underwater universe and split it up into four long episodes because they had lots of footage. But you get to learn about tides, predators underwater, and all sorts of things in the water that can kill you, like pressure.
Ooh.
It's actually really interesting, and I enjoyed it a lot.
It actually does sound kind
of. Yeah. Also, Dog the Bounty Hunter, this family means business. Now, wow. I have to say, I reviewed Dog the Bounty Hunter once before. I don't remember what that set was called, but it's like on my site somewhere. And I like that set better because this one was so
What is your
weak.
Site, Gina?
It's hauntedflowerreviews.com, Kobe.
Okay, great.
All right.
And well, what I had a problem with is it only had like six really short episodes. None of them were any good. The one that had kind of action, because he's a bounty hunter with his family of bounty hunters, is they kept missing this guy like three times. They finally got back to his house, and then they broke down the door to his bathroom, which was one of those bathrooms in the middle of a house. He wasn't going to escape out of the window because there's no windows. And then three of them sat on him for good measure. And then, of course, in the car on the ride to the police station, they talked to him about changing his life and tried to make him cry through offers of water and cigarettes. That's their way.
Was he sitting
It's a come
down?
To Jesus talk.
Was he sitting down in the bathroom at the time that they sat down on
him? Well, no, he got he said he was in there to go to the bathroom, and they said, "No, you weren't. You have your pants on." And I thought to myself, you know, if I'd been in that situation, I would have tried to get decent too.
Yeah.
So his story could have been plausible.
Yeah.
But the only thing really worth watching on this set is they have a 200th episode celebration going through clips of all the good moments that were in Dog the Bounty Hunter, the series. Mm-hmm. And that's when you actually get to see, you know, this was an interesting case, this was an interesting case, in a much scaled down version, which is the better way to watch it. Because mm-hmm. I don't really care if they're worrying about, oh, Dog the Bounty Hunter, he's going to babysit the kids so we can go collect the bounty this time. I don't need that part of the story. I don't need to see that.
It just occurred to me that is more analysis than the past three movies we've mentioned.
And I just want to point out one bothersome thing here.
Uh-huh. Yes.
For all of our intelligent listeners,
uh-huh.
there have been 200 episodes of Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Wow.
If that doesn't depress you, nothing will.
Oh, and that is kind of scary seeing the change from where he started to where he is now, because now he's a strange color that's like an orange, red, pink, somewhere in the middle. And his hair is bleached to the point where it looks like it's going to fall out any second. But
he
so you kind
looks
of
like
watch
Mickey
waiting
Rourke,
for it
he?
To happen. The wrestler version
exactly.
of Mickey Rourke, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, very much like that. And one other thing that came out this week that I can think of right now is a documentary called Hempsters. And it features Woody Harrelson in it. And basically,
really?
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Wow.
And basically they're talking about how hemp could be used as all these things, alternative fuel for paper, et cetera, and how that because it's a distant cousin to marijuana, it gets shut down, and cops claim they know the difference, but they don't, blah, blah, blah. Woody Harrelson shows himself getting arrested for trying to plant seeds for hemp and then getting off. So basically it's just an educational thing there. And it was interesting. Hmm. Wasn't like edge of my seat interesting, but mm-hmm. it was there.
Okay.
All right. You should not get high while watching it, though.
No, you won't get anything out of that.
No.
Instead, watch Sucker Punch. No, don't get high. Don't get high. We don't endorse that here.
All right. So what are we doing now, producer Kobe?
We're doing this.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
All right, and let's do a quick bit of a background on this. I sent an email out to Kobe and Richard and Gina on, I think, Wednesday. And I said, hey, Kobe, do you want to do What is Kobe Watching? Today at about 3 o'clock when I
yep.
checked my email, I got an email back from Kobe saying, yeah, why don't you throw a couple things together real quick? So, consequently, there are how many movies? There are at least
one,
eight
two,
there.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, so 9, 10, 11.
Despite
11.
The lack of preparation, Joe was able to
Joe
pick 11
through.
Titles.
Yeah. Yes. And that was off the cuff from my personal collection.
Yes.
So, which ones of these are you going to pick?
Well,
we should just go through the stack.
Yeah, let's go through
are.
The stack here.
Okay.
We have Full Metal Jacket. Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket.
Uh-huh.
Seen it.
Have seen it.
Excellent.
Very good.
Great.
Michael Keaton is Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. Saw that a couple weeks ago with girlfriend Bianca, who's sitting in.
Yeah.
Say hi.
Hi.
Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
Uh-huh.
I don't
Great
like
song.
Scary movies, but I have seen this
uh-huh.
and I like this.
Yeah.
All right.
The Descent.
Uh-huh.
The cover of it looks horrifying, and I've seen bits and pieces on, I think, cable TV.
Uh-huh.
I'm not watching that.
It's horrifying.
Oh, come on,
yeah,
watch it.
Very good scary movie.
Moving forward, those are the no's.
Those are the rejects.
The yes. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
All right.
Yeah.
Stand By Me.
Okay.
Joe Brings the RoboCop Trilogy.
Uh-huh. And I'm vouching for the first part. Watch the other two at your peril.
I want to borrow it after you.
I have no desire.
The first one is an absolute classic. I won't let anyone tell me any different.
Why they is the first one the reason they put they're putting the statue in Detroit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, without a doubt.
Okay. I'm sure that they'll have a plaque along the bottom saying this is only for the first movie. We take the responsibility for what happened after.
RoboCop 3, this doesn't count.
L.A. Confidential.
Uh-huh.
Awesome great. Movie.
It's absolutely okay.
Great movie.
No,
and
it's
Tommy
awesome.
Boy.
All right.
Not seen Tommy Boy. Now, the ones in question. George A. Romero, Stephen King, Creepshow.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of that cover?
It's a pretty good cover. The most fun you'll ever have being scared,
uh-huh.
Which I don't see how that's possible.
No, that's marriage.
Unless it is just horrifyingly bad that it's good.
Yeah.
Unless it's
there is a bit of that. There's a lot of that, actually. That's what it is.
That.
It's mostly that. But it's intentionally so bad it's good. It's very pulpy comic book stuff.
Then also, to complete the collection here, Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning.
Uh-huh.
And
just jump in at Part 5.
Looking at the back of the thing, reading it, they thought Jason was dead. They thought he was gone for good, but it turns out they're all wrong. Dead wrong.
Actually, that's a bit misleading. But yes, I think you should pick that. That is arguably the worst, certainly the most craptastic of the Friday the 13th films.
Yeah,
it also co-stars Miguel Nunez, who is on one of the cop procedural shows these days, and he wears, this is mid-80s now, he wears this very tight black leather suit that is all by itself is worth watching the movie just for that. And he meets his end in a, I can't really say, a 10-something house, very literally. He goes out of this movie. You got to watch it. Really.
It's You'll scary, it. Though.
It's only scary in the sense that people are violently killed.
If you can get past that, you'll be
really?
Fine.
The acting is so bad, they actually deserve it, though.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, you're actually rooting for them to die. Because that means
scathing
they won't be
criticism
there.
By Richard.
That's basically my favorite kind of scary movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of just, you know, there's a killer with a knife somewhere, and he keeps reviving.
Takes
awesome.
A little edge off of the guilt of
yeah.
watching people be slaughtered. They're jerks anyway. They deserve it.
Bianca,
yeah.
thoughts?
Which one do you want to watch?
She wants to watch me watch
Friday
the
13th. I haven't seen LA Confidential, and I hear good things about it.
Mm.
Friday the 13th, it kind of reminds me of, like, Freddy versus Jason.
Uh-huh.
Is it going to be that kind
is
of
Jason? Well, it is Jason Voorhees.
Jason, that is the Jason in question.
But no Freddy.
Kind of.
That is
kind
said
of.
Jason.
Yes, that is said Jason. We've
been is he wearing a hockey mask? That's him.
Matt, I've got a stack of movies that Matt's given me, but they've kind of been pushed to the wayside with things that she and I watch. We catch a lot of ends of movies, mm-hmm. but also Couples Retreat.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to say, he didn't recommend
why?
It.
Couples, no. It was on, what was
on HBO.
On HBO. Yeah. It was a free HBO weekend last week.
And the relationship survived that?
and I'm
yes.
sorry.
Wow.
One scene in question from that film. If someone is in the ocean with a shark, 5 minutes later they will not be calling him a baby because he was crying in the water with a shark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They
will be
ridiculous.
Making fun of him because he had a scratch on his leg and he said it was a shark bite.
Yeah.
It was
small
a
shark.
Altogether, that whole scene was awful.
It wasn't that. It wasn't that small.
What else?
That whole 90-minute scene was awful.
You saw Inception.
Oh, saw Inception finally.
Good for you.
That was the most engaging and enthralling movie I have ever seen.
Isn't it?
Nice.
Yes.
It was awesome.
It's
still confusing, though, because we tried to figure out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Does it stop spinning?
Yeah.
That's the debate.
I think that it's still a dream.
I think it's a choose-your-own-adventure ending.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think definitely. You get to decide what happened.
Now,
I like it that way.
Now this film, it actually did spawn the biggest... to date, debate on the Film Yap of any movie, you can probably still find it. It was many, many comments from many, many people as speculating as to what the movie was about, who was being incepted, if you want to call it that.
Oh.
Well, I had to unsubscribe from that. It was so long.
Yeah, it was.
I kept getting the emails.
It is gigantically long. And the thing is you can't really discount any of mm-hmm. the theories on there. And there are a good dozen. So it's a very fascinating movie that, you know, we could all watch it again and come up with a totally different conclusion. And we would all be just as right as the other, because there is no real resolution to that movie. That's kind of the genius of the movie.
I thought it was awesome. We saw caught a bunch of the ends of movies and parts of movies.
Yeah, we saw the tail end of Titanic.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Tail end of Titanic.
Is it a spoiler that the boat sank?
Saw the end of Amelia.
Okay.
Before Titanic, and tried to get through Life Aquatic.
Oh.
Couldn't make it.
Yeah.
I didn't make it through that one either.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember why. Short attention span.
Yeah.
The movie that's out right now here in Indy, Submarine, is a lot like Life Aquatic.
Yeah.
Playing out at Washington Square.
Speaking of movies playing out somewhere, tonight, this weekend at the Keystone Landmark for their midnight movies is The Big Lebowski.
Oh, yes.
And tonight at the IMA at 9 o'clock is Zoolander.
Nice. Yeah. I should also say midnight tonight at the Hamilton 16 IMAX, Kate Chaplin's film Leah Not Leah, which I had a story in the Star yesterday about, is playing.
Joe was in the Star?
Oh, one of many times. Really. All the time.
Wow.
And well, not all the time, but, you know, on occasion.
I should also take the opportunity to just say really quickly, I know this awesome place where you can get Big Lebowski t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's
yeah.
called hauntedflower.com.
Really?
Yeah.
What's
I
Big
hear
Lebowski?
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
I've been there. It's pretty nice.
I've got a Sweet Ferris Bueller t-shirt from there.
Nice.
I wore my Sweet Ferris Bueller shirt the other day. Oh, it's awesome.
Nice. Are you roller derbying anywhere?
Yes, actually. Well, not me, but the Circle City Derby Girls have a bout on July 9th. Go to the Forum at Fisher's on 126th Street. It's a bout. Starts at 6 p.m., and you can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com. If you get them early, they're only $10, or at the door for $15.
Nice. Hey, I have one. I'll be in Lawrence at the Lawrence Parade on Franklin Road, right across the street from Lawrence Park.
Grand Marshal?
I'm not the Grand Marshal.
Are you going to be setting off fireworks?
Maybe. I'm actually going to be at my aunt's house right across from the park. We invariably end up shooting off fireworks, and she yells at us. Well, actually, my uncle yells at us to get off his lawn with our fireworks.
And then pulls up black socks.
Yeah. But I'll be I'll have movie tickets to see Zookeeper, starring Kevin James.
And various
animals. Come on,
it's
a family movie. Yeah. And I have lots of...
I just wish everybody could see the eye roll that went along with that.
Yeah, I'll be there seeing it. I'm sure my kids will love it. But I've got lots of swag to give away there also that I'll be giving away. Free movies and free t-shirts and free...
What kind of t-shirts?
Pins shaped like animals. Zookeeper t-shirts, mostly.
Zookeeper t-shirts.
Yeah. And animal crackers. They sent me animal crackers to give away.
Cool. I'll hit you up for animal crackers.
And temporary tattoos. Pins. So.
And I will be at In Conjunction this weekend.
Oh, In Conjunction. All right.
Out at the Marriott East.
Uh-huh.
I'll be doing panels on becoming a successful blogger. I'll be showing some local sci-fi shorts. And we'll be talking about the best and worst sci-fi films ever made.
Nice.
So, and actually, Leah Not Leah will also be screening at In Conjunction.
That's right, it will.
At 11 a.m. tomorrow, Saturday.
And rumor has it, I may or may not have been in that movie, too, along with my son.
Are you the talking squirrel?
I do play the part of the talking squirrel. No, I don't have a speaking part, but I believe she said I was actually an extra in that movie.
The mute squirrel.
Yeah. No, I'm the one in the background slapping his leg because of all the mosquitoes. But no, she told me I think I was in it for like 3 frames or something.
Oh,
very,
3
very,
frames.
Yeah, I'm way in the background. Like I said, I was just an extra.
Paid for that.
Yeah, I got my IMDb credit
Start
there
banking.
Now. So
nice.
So I have. Nice. I actually don't have a page yet, but I should. All right. Well, anything else going on this weekend?
It's about that time.
It is. We have just a few seconds left, and we're
quickly plug your sites.
Thefilmyapp.com.
HauntedFlower.com, HauntedFlowerReviews.com, IndieMojo.com, and CircleCityDerbyGirls.com.
Hey, we only get one.
TheIndependentCritic.com and Sandy on the Scene on Comcast.
All right. Matt's back next week, yes?
That's right. Yep, and we'll be back a couple weeks after that, so I got to go back to film sociology next week.
All right.
You'll miss us.
All right. Well, good night and good luck and goodbye. See you in a couple weeks. Have a good 4th.
You're listening to WFYI 90.1 HD to the Point, Indianapolis.
We go!